You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. Great episode lined up for you today. I met him at the Sunstroke House. Shout out to Jamie and Tommy Nettles. Great house show if you've never been in Columbus, Mississippi. He just put out this latest record of his. It's called Newski, Friend Rock. Cool project. Did a whole bunch of songs with friends from a lot of bands you may be familiar with if you're into indie rock. He also just put out a book, It's Hard to Be a Person. And he is the podcast host of Dirt from the Road. Brett Newski, man, how you doing?
Hey, Alan, good to see you, man. Mississippi, what a fun state. We've never played there ever in our life until a couple weeks ago, and I saw you there. So it's a good to play the Deep South. We like it.
Yeah, man. So, man, tell me a little bit about, give me a little bit of dirt from the road from the tour so far, man. You're getting back from the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I just got back from Seattle, Pacific Northwest, a couple nights ago. You know, it was great. It was just a fast sprint. We flew into Seattle. We had like 2 hours to land, get a rental car, and get to soundcheck and go to Guitar Center. And get some gear. You know about the GC two-step? It's where you buy gear from Guitar Center at the top of a tour, and then you return it after the tour. So that actually worked out really great. Otherwise, we would have been in deep doo-doo because, some of those rental companies, they'll charge you like almost the cost of a full amp, you know, just to rent gear for a week. So it's just better to just buy it or buy it and return it. So it was great, man. I mean, the Pacific Northwest, it's got to be the most beautiful spot in the country for nature. It's hard to beat, you know, it's just like scenic mountains, lakes, rivers, creeks, hills, mountains that go into the sky, into the clouds. It's unbelievable. And there's like the strange undercurrents too, because it's such like, it's kind of like the meth mecca of America. So you see like, I saw two ladies smoking crack on the last morning, just nice looking old ladies, probably 70 years old, having a nice coffee and a crack pipe right on the sidewalk in Port Angeles, Washington. So it's all going on there. It feels a little bit like a different country than the Midwest, but it's something.
Oh man, I think you unlocked something for me with the GC two-step, man. That's that's good cheat codes for people to have. So I'm guessing you didn't have the box fixed yet.
I couldn't ship out an amp; it's too expensive. We did ship our gear out there, our merch, and all our merch got lost. So I had like,
man, you've like been on a roll with this tour.
Yeah. I had like 12 books in my suitcase, so we had a few books to sell. But yeah, that was brutal. But what can you do, man? I mean, this stuff, whatever, it's not the end of the world. These types of things would have affected me a lot more 5 or 6 years ago when I was more of a 4-year-old, but, I try to just leave the past in the past at this point.
I hear you, man. So tell me a little bit about growing up in, Milwaukee, man.
I was born in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, home of Bon Iver, which is just a little town in the middle of the state. Beautiful, beautiful little kind of cute blue collar city. My dad was a radio sales guy, so he was always you know, hustling radio commercials, selling radio to clients at like little dry cleaners and, you know, restaurants, cafes, janitorial outlets. And then we moved to the Milwaukee area when I was a little man, maybe like 7, 8. And so I grew up on the outskirts of Milwaukee in a suburb called New Berlin, which is kind of a low culture mecca of just, it's mall, basically mall fucked by, you know, just strip malls and strip malls and strip malls. And it's fine. It was a safe place to grow up, but not like not an encouraging place creatively, very conservative, just very, but, you know, can't complain too much about it. I didn't get mugged or anything. I got the living crap beat out of me at school. So I guess I did kind of get mugged. The neighborhood itself was safe. The school was not safe emotionally or physically, but I've talked about that enough in the world. So, yeah. And now I live right downtown Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Just as far as, and I've heard you talk a little bit about it, but I wanted to get it here. How long would it be until you felt comfortable enough to come out as a creative? Was it after high school to when you kind of felt like it was kind of a walk in your own skin?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, in high school, I was terrified to tell people I was in a band because they would make fun of me or call me a pussy or something. But yeah, in college, I started a band. You know, college is a great new start for everyone, usually, because you get away from all the people you grew up with, and you get to start over. You get to kind of be a new person and have a clean slate. And that was huge. I mean, I was still a complete, you know, 4-year-old when I got to college. Like, I never drank booze in high school. So I got to college and I would just like wake up in the bushes. I didn't know how to drink. You know, I was just a complete failure. You know, I got through school. I got through all my classes and stuff. Was nice to people, but I'm sure I was annoying as hell. But yeah, creative stuff really kind of, I've always just been a little nerd in my parents' basement writing songs since I was 13, 14 years old when I discovered the guitar. That was huge because I could kind of hole up, you know, the song In the Garage by Weezer. Like that was like my whole childhood. I like really relate to that. And so that created like a safe little oasis for creation. And I kind of never really stopped making songs or like little art stuff since I was 13 or 14 or even earlier. When I was a little kid, I would sit and draw for like 8 or 9 hours at a time. And I didn't realize you could make money off creative pursuits until maybe college. I had a couple like college party bands and, you know, we played the bar circuit and got paid a bit. And that was like kind of a holy shit moment because they were giving us free beer and paying us pretty well for being like 20 years old. Even though the gigs weren't always the most glorious, you know, we played mostly played rat holes and, you know, in shitty bars, but it was amazing. We loved it. It was a magic time. And that kind of blew the doors open as far as like, okay, maybe I can take a crack at this if I just really just go for it. And I've just, honestly, I've had a lot of blind ambition the whole time. I'm like, you know, sort of a believer in the old school American dream in some sense of like, if you work your dick off, like things will eventually pop for you. So I mean, I do believe that in a lot of senses. And I was born lucky. Like my parents are pretty mentally stable and like supportive, and like I got a lot of hugs as a kid. So outside of like taking beatings in high school and like people fucking with me emotionally and getting punched in the kidneys a bunch, like I had a pretty good childhood, which kind of enabled me to just have a chance, you know, just have like a flying chance to kind of take a crack at doing your own pursuit and get encouragement from, you know, the people around you. So that was big. Yeah. But honestly, man, I just put my head down. I took every shitty tour I could, making $60 a show in Ohio and Michigan and Illinois and Minnesota, and just like kept going and kind of just didn't pick my head up. And, you know, 11 years later, things are, I guess, looking as good as they can for a independent musician. You know, we're not making any holy shit life-changing money, but I make like a decent living releasing records, selling paintings, selling the books I make.
So yeah, that kind of
pretty lucky.
Earlier,
yeah.
I mean, you were talking about, you know, just a little bit of the trauma. And now you have a book, It's Hard to Be a Person, Man. And just, it's a quick read for anyone listening. You might be interested. You can sit down with it cover to cover, about 30 minutes. And it's a fun little read about what might get you through a pretty hard time. And you did all the artwork yourself for it?
Yeah. Thanks, Alan. Yeah, I did all the drawings. It took about kind of 3 years to finish. But yeah, it's just like over the years, I would just write down little stuff I thought was funny, or I would kind of journal to my anxiety and paranoia of like what triggered me why am I feeling so depressed? What happened around these days that maybe made me feel so depressed? What's the worst thing about it? What's maybe a funny comedic relief angle I can take on it to kind of get my brain out of this trough? So I wrote a bunch of jokes and comics and kind of like mini skits, and I put them all in this book of just tactical things I found useful to feel better in my head. Cause you know, as long as I can remember, I've been a super, super anxious person. And you know, struggled with some bouts of depression too, which, you know, you don't even realize what they are growing up until, at least for me, into my late 20s, you know, when this starts to be in the public discourse a little bit and you get diagnosed by a doc or whatever, and then you can start to attack it more efficiently. But yeah, so I wanted to make the book for, you know, as just a creative project to keep myself sane, but I just thought it would be, I thought it'd be useful to people. And it's definitely, out of all the things I've made, it's the thing that's got the most like response, and I get messages about it all the time. So, because which feels
well,
good,
and
it's
man.
Nice.
That's good work.
It reaches beyond just music too. So it's nice to, you know, our music's could be considered a bit niche. You know, we're kind of in this indie 90s alternative kind of geek rock world. So the book kind of reaches beyond that.
Tell me a little bit about like the Friend Rock record. And I mean, was this a COVID idea come true? Where a lot, I mean, I see some of the guys that you work with, I mean, typically, I'm sure they would be on the road and busy. Was it just like a good time for y'all to be able to work together?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I really wanted to make use of my time during the pandemic, during the pando. So I basically just, I had tons of songs done, like studio recordings. My producer Spatola and I had been working on the whole pando. We'd do like a song a week. And then I started thinking like, well, I'm getting some cool guests on the podcast. What if I started reaching out to some of my musical heroes who are like, you know, mid-level indie celebrities or just, you know, people on my smaller medium indie level to see if they want to guest on some songs. And I just kind of made a big ass list and started going through it. I knew a lot of these cats were at home and had home studios or mic setups. And yeah, so got a lot of my musical heroes to sit in on it. Matthew Cause from Not a Surf was a big one for me. I really like that band. And Brian from the Verve Pipe. And then this French artist I discovered in the last couple of years, H. Burns, who I'm just like obsessed with. He's incredible. Every record he puts out is perfect almost.
Too Much Reality. That was a good track, dude.
Oh, I mean, thanks, man.
The whole thing is great. It's been a banger 2023. It was great work. I'm glad y'all did it, man. I certainly have been listening to it every day, man.
Thanks. Well, I spun your record just a couple days ago. It's awesome. Like,
and it's kind of the same thing. That was a COVID project, man. And,
so you went around to different places around Mississippi and with a field recorder and just recorded acoustic recordings?
Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee.
Dude, it's really good. Like I don't know how much love or press it's got, but it's a really interesting project and it sounds awesome. I love how real and, you know, it has that kind of, it channels the old world, which is so cool. And that's how like a lot of these famous blues recordings came to be. I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but like people just going around the South with a field recorder and capturing like good musicians literally on their porch.
Yeah.
And it's like how we have this like old Mississippi blues. So yeah, I think, dude, keep doing that. That's a great way to make records and like bring the community together, and they sound cool. It makes me want to make a lo-fi record.
Yeah, man. It's I mean, I've already got the second one ready. It's in the can. It's just a matter of financing. And who knows, maybe by the time I get it ready to be financed, we might have to sit back down with these artists because the work won't be so new anymore. But it's fun, you know, fun lo-fi project. Like you said, it brought the community together. And through that, We've been throwing music festivals and just trying to get the crowd around here energized around not only the talent that we have in this town or area, but also bringing Midwest or Pacific Northwest or even the East Coast in. Like, hey, yeah. We want to help each other. We're indie, we're DIY, let's make it work.
Yeah, dude. Well, big ups, man. You're a special person. You've got a really your enthusiasm is really unmatched to most people I meet on the road. So it's exciting to know dudes like you are out there, you know, trying to make stuff happen and make stuff happen on your own steam and outside of the box. It's like, you know, you got Live Nation buying up the world and all the venues, and then you got guys like Alan. And without you, you know, 99.9% of touring artists don't have a chance without you and you know, types like you. So much respect.
Yeah, man, and that's something that I really want to capitalize on. I'm working on it now just for, like, people like Midwest. You want to play the South, I'm trying to build that circuit, you know, get you down here, then loop you back up.
Well, that's amazing. We're fans, man, yeah.
And hopefully it would be something doable and you could do it in 2-3 weeks and you could call it, you know, then maybe take a break or whatever it is you need to do. And have people like Jamie who have these awesome homes maybe – open them up and let's do house shows along the way, you know?
Sure.
Those are my favorite shows now. I mean, it's the best way to connect to the artists. And I'm sure, like, playing a house show, I mean, it just seems you get a better feel of the room. Like, you're right there with everybody, you know, instead of being up on a stage and kind of getting lost with the crowd, you know?
Yeah. And especially like when it's outside, because we've been touring like with the band, like the stuff indoors when you're solo works better, but when you got the full band, it's like playing these shows on these old Victorian wraparound porches to like 60 people on the lawn is pretty cool. Like, it's a pretty good format. So that show was awesome. The thing that blew my mind about that show is there's like all these 21-year-old just super drunk Air Force kids that were like, wow, this is like a demographic we don't normally see at our shows. And they were awesome. And they were like pumped and getting into the words, and I was heckling them and they were heckling me. And it was a good moments. And then like we're driving home and we see like fighter planes just flying over our heads. We're like, those were probably the drunk kids from last night. Like, they're flying Air Force jets, you know, that's why they're in town. And people are smarter than they seem on the surface. It's unbelievable.
It truly is, man. And like, that was a special show because, like, typically I know most of the people who's going to be at the Sunstroke House. There were a lot of cats that I didn't know that night. So good job on you for drawing them out, man.
I wonder how they heard about it then.
Well, I know Jamie will put different ads out, and maybe that's the way that she...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
She marketed it, but I'm going to guess it was probably more on your end. Maybe they were a fan and saw that you just so happened to be coming to town. I don't know.
That's amazing. I mean, we have gotten, like, again, the radio guy down there, we've gotten radio play in some of these kind of random Alabama cities we've never been to. Maybe that helped, but some of these things you would kill to know exactly how people find out about the show, because, you know, selling tickets in the modern era is like, it's one of the hardest things to do when you're up against every event and every piece of media ever. So yeah, what's working, and then let us double down on that, you know.
Yeah, shout out to Monk. Yeah, indies only.
He's the man.
That show is going to be translated over to podcast format. So all the good work that he was doing, I mean, it'll be, you know, you'll have a catalog of it and you can go back and catch everything. So he's working on figuring out how to get that marketed and create the pod for it.
Brilliant, brilliant. I love it, man. I'm excited about the South. We've barely been there, and it fascinates me. So it's cool to know you. And like some of these like smaller towns that are arts centric and arts friendly, you would just never know about them. Like us being in Wisconsin, we didn't even know about Columbus, Mississippi. Yeah, Columbus, yeah. Mississippi. And then we stop and we're like, this city fucking rules. There's like an art center, a couple venues, people painting on the sidewalk, some hip coffee places. It's got kind of a rustic New Orleans feel in the architecture. So, yeah, it fascinates me as to what else is out there down there.
It's great, dude. And it's revitalizing, too. Like the feeling the community has for the arts in the area, it kind of ebbs and flows. And right now it's flowing right now. There's never been a better time to be in Columbus. We got so many good people passing through. We got a lot of great opportunities for people, and the crowds are really coming out and supporting. So, a lot of great opportunities down here. We're trying to migrate that over to other communities. We're working with Tupelo and other big towns, our bigger towns in Mississippi, to kind of, you know, create a loop of some kind, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, let's keep in touch about it. It sounds great.
Yeah, dude. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the tour. Have you got more dates lined up?
Yeah, we're back home and we're back all over the Midwest this summer. So we're playing a few smaller cities this weekend. And yeah, I think every weekend we're active. So I'm kind of like biking around the city, swimming in the lake during the week, and then we're gigging on the weekends.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a little bit about downtown. Is it just kind of like, ooh, no music at all? Biking and swimming, you say?
No, well, I basically work, you know, 8 to 4, 8 to 5 every day. Just, but you know, I'm self-employed, so I can go work from the beach, or I'll be painting during the morning or working on a podcast in the afternoon. So I keep my hours pretty consistent to try to keep a routine. And I just have so much frickin' stuff to do. Like I got a lot of shows to promote, and you know, every gig that you see on our calendar, there's probably like at least 4 hours of promotion work that goes into making it work and making sure it doesn't bomb, you know? So, yeah, behind the scenes, you know, I don't think anyone realizes like what a heavy lift it is, but I'm stoked to be doing it. I'm 36 yeah. years old, and I don't know a ton of people still doing music full time. So I'm just grateful that I'm still kind of functioning in the arts, because the USA is not, you're not meant to make a living in the arts. It's just not set up that way. The more I go and like, you know, you see kind of how Europe operates and Australia and Ireland and the UK, like there are some more arts funding mechanisms in place. And I know some states in the US have some. Wisconsin doesn't have a lot that I know about. I've never received any arts funding outside of maybe a few bucks during the pando from like a local thing. So, I mean, yeah, but I guess that's the American way, right? It's like nothing is free. You got to bust your fucking ass if you want to make it work. And
that is one thing crazy I'll say about Alabama. I don't know about Mississippi, but like when I was a resident in Alabama, there were so many grants and just art, grants that you could get, like for whatever project that you were pursuing. There was a lot of money there. And what's crazy is I don't know who's getting it or what happens to it, because it was a pretty nice little pot of money. And far as I know, I didn't know anybody who was applying, you know? And so like shout out to Alabama. They got good opportunities.
Yeah. Big ups, dude. I mean, and hey, like these are things artists and musicians often don't think of, is there's grants out there. Like they take some work to apply for, but you can do it. You know, I think, you know, it's a stereotype, you know, artists, musicians are lazy. I don't know how true that is. But there's some truth to it if it's such a mainstream stereotype. So I think artists and musicians are getting a lot better, especially the younger ones, about being business savvy. They're like, hey, for decades and decades, artists have been taking it in the ass and not sticking up for themselves and getting ripped off. So let's change that. Like, let's get savvy at the music business side of things. And I think that is getting better. I mean, I got made fun of early on in my career for being so into the business side of music. Like the hipsters in Madison, Wisconsin fucking hated me, dude. Like I was out there hustling, applying for grants. They're like, this guy is a loser. Like, look at how hard he's trying. So now that game has changed where, you know, I just, and like Spotify, that's a whole nother conversation, but it's like, unfortunately, musicians, we're just used to like, I should only have to work on arts because that's my job. I shouldn't have to worry about the business side. And then like these overlords at streaming, they're like, okay, cool, we'll take all the money. And you know, someone like me who's like, I mean, I feel like I should be getting paid something from Spotify rather than like
all the $40s you make,
$40 a month. Or I mean, it's pathetic. And it's like, I mean, like some of these songs have over 100,000 streams. Like how are the checks like $42 a month? Like this is, I mean, something's not right. Like, so we clearly need to organize. I don't know how that's done. We need like a Bon Iver and like a bunch of Bon Iver type figureheads. And then a bunch of maybe little guys like me to unite so we could actually put a dent in Spotify and, you know, have them change things a little bit. But yeah, at the moment, I am not proud of musicians as a whole because we just kind of we're just used to taking it in the ass and it's more of the same. So again, shout out to the younger kids really learning about the business side and sticking up for yourselves in the industry.
Well, just with like being business savvy and some of the artists who were on the Porch Talk record, like Abe Partridge or Taylor Hollinsworth and others, not only are they creating music, they're also an author or an artist. And so they have a lot of different medias in the arts. And so they're marketing themselves in more than one way, you know?
Yeah.
And you're doing the same. It's like to be known in different fields and then to host a podcast is like, I'm kind of cataloging a little dirt from the road in your case. And it's like how relatable for people who are trying to get into the industry and want to know just how hard it is. And then what about the people who can kind of just laugh who had been there? Be like, yeah, he's spot on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm stoked to meet some of your musician friends in the South because I don't know a lot of people down there. I've heard Taylor's really good and making stuff happen. So, yeah, it's we'll connect soon.
Yeah, man. So let's do three more questions and we'll walk out of the door. I wanted you to plug your socials for all those listening and the best way just to stay involved with you, whether that's through the email list or whatever the best avenue is.
Yeah. I mean, we're on all the demon social medias that are slowly ruining your life. We're there. We're participating. We're part of the poison. Yeah. That, yes, sir. I don't know. Newski Music on Instagram is a good one. That's good. I mean, the best thing to do is like if you like the band or you want to support indie art in general, hop on the newsletter. It's newskimusic.com. There's like a tour newsletter that'll pop up. You can sign up. I put out tour journals every Friday. You know, podcasts. We have a Patreon page, and that's kind of been the thing that's kind of kept a lot of indie bands afloat, where you can chip in $5 a month. And you get like all the demos and the early podcasts and a bunch of like behind the curtains content, maybe journals that are too personal to post publicly, stuff like that. So that's a good way to do it. But in general, I mean, we all kind of live or die by word of mouth. So if you're an indie rock listener or just a music listener in general, and like SMS a link to your buddies, like if you surely there's people who respect your opinion and your artistic taste palette. So word of mouth is just huge for everybody.
Yeah, definitely, dude. And I'm thankful that I get to take the time to do that because I love getting those emails or text messages, or you get a link to a new album that's about to come out. It's from another indie rocker. Be like, dude, I'd really appreciate it if you'd sit down and write a review. And so like how that works is if I'm really into it, a short one paragraph, then I send it around to all my buddies that I know like music. And I was like, nice. This is what it's like. And, you know, I'll go into like, it reminds me of, man, I was driving down to Panama City on spring break back in 2008, and I would have been bumping this. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really putting you in the pocket.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a good way to describe music because you for for our whole lives, we've just heard like, this is indie rock with gritty guitars, where it's like, yeah, no, how about like, this is like grungy night driving music when you've drank caffeine too late. I don't know. Those are like fun explanations of songs.
This would have been in the Rocky montage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
Exactly.
Question two, and it may be a two-parter. What was the biggest lesson that you learned over the pandemic?
The pando, take the foot off the gas. Just, I guess, cliche pando wisdom, you know. That's probably the best community I've ever had during the pandemic, was just my three or four buddies I would get together with routinely. And that was amazing. I think my mental health has actually never been better, even for being a hypochondriac. Like, we'd make bonfires every Tuesday and get a fish fry and eat it outside every Friday. So that was big. But then, you know, I don't know, man. I got FOMO just like the rest of the world. So when tour opportunities come about, I can't say no to them. Like, I'm going to go back out and grind and hope my brain holds up. But yeah.
Yeah, man. So, and then part two to that is like, if you could say something to yourself 5 years ago about where you are now, what do you think the person 5 years from right now is going to say?
Wow, that's a good, good question. I think like, yeah, I think just like, you know, you've got time. I think in your younger days, you're always like, oh shit, I got to make something happen by this age. Or if I don't make something happen by this age, I'm not holding up to my peers. So just knowing you've got time, but also not wasting time, you know? So just kind of moving the needle a little bit every day. It's like, what can you do to kind of keep yourself sane, try to create a little bit, maybe make a new connection with someone you find interesting, and not burn yourself out, you know, because it's a long road in life and in music and in work. So not burning out, very, very important, because I've definitely walked the line of burnout more times than I can count. And I've had plenty of mental health meltdowns that fortunately haven't sidelined me for more than a few days or a week at a time, but I've been in some dark places. So I think burnout, avoiding burnout keeps you out of those big troughs mentally.
Right on. And Brett, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me today. Last thing to walk it out of the door is, what was your favorite part of this conversation?
Well, dude, I just love how you've asked me a bunch of questions I've never been asked before, and I've done a shitload of podcasts and music bloggy things during the years. So that you're great. I'm a huge fan of yours, man. You're just a very easy hang and a disarming dude, and you got a cool accent. So I'm pumped to pumped to meet again in real life, and I appreciate your work.
Yeah, man. Cannot wait for the next thing. Get on back down here, dude.
Dude, let's get on the horn next week. We'll make a plan.
Yeah, dude. Sounds good. Well, Brett, you take care of yourself, man.
All right. Love you, dude. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, dude. Take care. I flinch every time. You bat your eyes at me. My only self-defense. It's a little rabbit hole under that white picket fence of yours. Concrete around my feet. I'm a poster child for every mafia story and scene. Won't every red light, rolling stop signs, you and I could never crash. Never mind, oh never mind, oh never mind. His famous last words, it's not you, it's me. I love you, we will be fine. Never mind, oh never mind, oh never mind. Never mind, oh never mind, oh never mind. Under a sky that's burning me up, you gave me ozone. Hear our friends say we're invincible, but they don't know the air to us feels so marvelous.
Never mind.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.